This is the DTV Digest, the podcast that brings you news and reviews of films which didn't make it to the cinema. And now, here's your host, Mike Parkin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the DTV Digest. I'm your host, Mike Parkin, and joining me this episode is Richard Hawes.
Hello, everyone.
This episode, we've got a very short agenda. We're going to kick off with Luc Besson's new film, Dogman. Then our short shot is Elliot's Cradle. And our DTV throwback is Escape, also known as Flute. So without further ado, let's crack on. Our first film then is Dogman. As a child, Douglas was abused by a violent father who then threw him to the dogs. Instead of attacking him, the dogs protected him. Traumatized and leading a life in the margins of society with his dogs, Douglas descends into a murderous madness. I don't know about you, Rich, but there's a certain trepidation these days when approaching a Luc Besson film. You know, love a lot of his work, love a lot of the films that he's associated with, where, you know, where he's written the scripts, where he's produced, you know, things like The Transporter, Danny the Dog, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when he gets behind the camera, we end up with Anna or that Valerian thing, which I did see at the cinema and deeply regretted it. What was the other one we had? The one with Scarlett Johansson, Lucy,
yeah,
which I didn't mind, actually. Overall, didn't mind that one too much. So yeah, and then reading that synopsis, I thought, oh, I'm going to hate this. You know, this is going to be a chore, and it absolutely wasn't. I absolutely loved this. There are some, you know, typical Luc Besson moments for sure, and I will sort of talk about a few bits and pieces shortly. But first of all, what did you think of Dogman?
Yeah, I was sort of kind of looking forward to it and not sure about what to expect because of, like you say, Luc Besson's reputation is mainly rooted in the work that he did in the 90s. And since then, his production credits, essentially, and say the screenplay credits associated, but all the stuff being made by his company, Europa Corp, more than necessarily the stuff that he's directing,
which the camera from, yeah.
Yeah, to be fair, I was looking at his filmography, and I did see Anna, which I was really disappointed by, and didn't realise this was the first film since then, so it's been 4 years. And really, I was looking at, and I was like, well, actually, I haven't seen any of the other films he made in the 2000s, with the exception of one called The Extraordinary Adventures of Adele Blanc-Sec, which was in 2010.
That?
Yeah, apparently so.
Oh, I didn't realize. Yeah. But yes, I've seen that one as well. I did enjoy that.
That's quite an interest. It's an interesting book because when it came out, they were like, who is this targeted at? Because it's kind of a kid's adventure film, but then it's got like her getting a bit naked and stuff in it. And yeah, overall, it was quite interesting. But I never saw he did the Lady with Michelle Yeoh about was it Aung San Suu Kyi?
Oh, yeah.
The Family with Michelle Pfeiffer and
I've seen that one.
Robert De Niro, which I hadn't even realised was a Luc Besson film. That I would never have pegged that as a Luc Besson film.
I'd forgotten that was. Actually, that has some funny moments. That's worth checking out.
And yeah, he did, and say Lucy and Valerian kind of followed that. And I haven't caught either of those, although I'm curious about Lucy. But a lot of the other stuff that he was doing was the Arthur animated films.
That's right.
So he did like three of those and stuff, and I never saw those. And he's always one of these guys who's moved between action and drama and art house and you know, really commercial stuff. But sort of, and I think this film is kind of bringing those things together again. I think it works a lot better than Anna did. I think there's certain shades of Anna. But
there's
a very
shades.
Different kind of...
Yeah, there's certain shades of a lot of his films. I mean,
absolutely, yeah.
So I mean, one of the themes that comes out of this, which is mirrored in some of his other films, is this idea of someone who's like outside of the norm, outside of the society norm being sort of brought in, or that sort of interaction. Like we saw that in Nikita, where we had this drug addict trained as an assassin who's then have to go back into the world. We had Leon the Professional, this guy who sort of latches onto the whimsy of like things like Singing in the Rain and that sort of thing. It's that sort of thing that even Danny the Dog, that's
Yeah,
a
well, I
classic
would.
example, which he didn't direct, but he wrote
No.
the screenplay for.
I would say tangentially, there are a lot of connections to Danny the Dog with, although that, that the themes were treated in a very different way, but there's the whole, a young character being, in a, abused and treated like an animal, and, the references to dogs and things. So the it's just this the treatment here is much different. I think it's being promoted as more of an action film over here, which it isn't, but it does in fairly standard sort of Luc Besson fashion bring out kind of a big action set piece at the end.
Indeed.
But for the most part, it's quite an interesting sort of character study drama.
Yeah. So we do get that classic structure, don't we? He gets arrested at the beginning, and then a psychiatrist is brought in to talk to him. So that's how we get to learn his backstory through, her asking questions and him embellishing bits and pieces. So we get to see his home life, such as it was. How he came up with the name Dogman, I guess, as well, because his brother put that stupid banner up backwards. But yeah, it's interesting. And there were times when I'm watching it, I'm thinking, I think you've pushed it a little too far, where our main character is not only sort of looking after dogs and stuff, but he's also in a wheelchair and can hardly walk. And yet he's supposed to be like the savior of the neighborhood and things like this. It's like, how is exactly?
Yeah, they don't really fill in the blanks too much on a lot of
No.
that. They just kind of do one, they present one scenario of how he's being, like somebody's heard about what he can do and has come to him for help, and they kind of, and that's a good little section. But yeah, they don't really show they leap a whole bit. There's a whole part of the story that's missing there.
Indeed.
But the thing was about the it feels like the film's kind of been pulled from different sources. There's lots of different influences, I think, that are at play. I mean, it made me think of, I mean, even the title itself kind of, it feels more like it's like a super villain origin story, kind of. I
It's
mean, it made me
glass,
think of, like,
isn't
yeah, exactly. It made me think of Glass, you
it?
know, and actually, I think there's a lot of Batman Returns in there, because there's a whole bit where he's laying on the ground and the dogs are coming around him, which reminded me of the Catwoman, and even the title Dog Man is like Catwoman. And then there's another, he's control, he's got this army of dogs, which is why he's called the Dog Man. He's got this army of dogs around him, which really reminded me of the Penguin and his army of penguins. And there's a lot of it that's quite standard, but then it kind of leans into sort of fantasy stuff and never really explains it. It's like the dogs, he can communicate with the dogs, and there's a little bit of a Doctor Dolittle thing kind of going on almost.
Yeah, when
But
he's
again, it's,
making
but
the
they never
cake sort
really,
of thing, yeah, it was
yeah, they never explain it. They just kind of
no.
say he's got this connection and they
He can
just
do it.
understand him.
Yeah.
So, which is completely ridiculous, but it's, and they never sort of dwell on it or anything. But the other thing was, because it's got like a little bit of a horror element, so there's Willard, you know, I don't know if you remember the old, I've not really seen it, but I know it's all about like an outcast, and he,
Controls rats,
essentially controls rats. Yeah, so the there's an element of that. I think the portrait, the actor playing Douglas or Dogman is
Caleb
Caleb
Landry
Landry
Jones.
Jones, who I'd never heard of before. And he really reminded me, I really liked him. I thought his performance reminded me a lot of Leonardo DiCaprio and a little bit of Heath Ledger's Joker. kind of in there, and obviously, I mean, with DiCaprio as well, a little bit of Jack Nicholson. So I thought there was a little bit of those, but I loved his performance was completely calm all the time. He was never sort of
Yeah, exactly. It's not
hamming it up in any
shouty or
way.
anything. Yeah, he's
No,
not
it was a really
chintzy, no.
interesting play of it. Are you familiar with him? Do you know? Because when we mentioned
I'm
it to
not actually.
Steve was kind of like, "Oh, Caleb Landry-Jones," or what? Like he wasn't keen on. Unfortunately, Steve wasn't able to join us to talk about it. But I'm not familiar with any of his work to be able to say why that might there might be that sort
The only film that
of.
I've seen him in is three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri, and I couldn't tell you which one he was, you know.
But anyway, I thought it was good. I thought it was a really sensitive kind of performance for what was supposed to be kind of like a formidable, feared kind of character. And he's also he's not trans, but he does dress. He's I don't know if you can say cross. Can you say cross dressing anymore? I don't know. But he's kind of a drag
Drag
performer
queen. Yeah, he's a drag
or
queen.
something.
Or, yeah.
He kind of finds a little bit of identity in that way. So the film sort of leans in that direction. One of the sort of vignettes, I guess, of the film, because it's kind of a lot of, like you say, it's discuss having these conversations and doing these little backstory things. And he goes to a drag club where he's trying to get a job, and then not on stage, but then he says, "Well, actually, could I have a go?" kind of thing, and they give him a chance, and the film kind of pauses for this really long rendition. I don't think it works, but he can basically do a flawless Edith Piaf, and it does look like he's just miming Edith Piaf, and it's like a whole song, and I think it was too much. I don't think that scene really worked or aided the film really much in any way. Although the setup and the before and the end of the scene and what it's presenting is like, because he's in the wheelchair, but he says, "I can stand up for a moment, whatever, but you've got to be there to catch me," kind of thing. And you're waiting for that part and what's going to happen there, and how he's going to feel after the performance. But yeah, I thought it was really, I thought it looked great, the cinematography and everything. I thought the film was, the editing and stuff. The say with Luc Besson, you kind of expect good action, but he doesn't always deliver good action, unfortunately, in recent years. Being a sort of a case in point, but I thought the sequences had a lot of atmosphere. Locations were really great, production design and stuff. And say the sort of hair and makeup and everything, because for his character, to say because he's wearing various outfits and stuff, I thought that all worked really well. And he's there's the sequences where he's unkempt, his makeup's got all smeared and stuff, because he's a bit, like at the start of the film, something's happened. We don't know what it is, but he's escaping from something, which then sort of loops around at the end. But yeah, I thought that that's kind of where the jokery sort of stuff a little bit came in. But yeah, I thought it was. So he's kind of an anti-hero, really. He's not. He's very sympathetic, I would say, and he doesn't really. There's not really. He does do some bad things, but he's.
He does bad things to bad people for
Yeah,
the
and he's kind of confessing it all, and he's not
most
hiding anything. He's very honest with, say, the psychiatrist. And I thought the thing with the psychiatrist was, I thought that was going to go somewhere a bit more than it did, because there's a lot of setup with that character
Yeah,
and
Evelyn.
her home situation, and
Yeah,
she's got an
exactly.
ex, and there's going to be a problem. And that doesn't get much of a payoff. There's a tiny pa there
I
is a little
yeah,
payoff.
there is. And I thought that was perfect the way it was. You know, I would have
Yeah, I
liked
think.
I would have liked to see her invite that in, you know, just to sort of cement it basically. But you know, it was pretty much inferred, you know, that he had sent her
Yeah,
something
but
to
I
help
thought there
her.
was going to be some sort of action there, of like something that was really going to pull them together. But I think maybe that he was playing against. Going against what your expectation there, because this is a film that's trying to be subversive. We've got the say the character who's say a cross-dressing character. It sets itself up as an action movie, but it's not really an action movie. It's kind of, it's playing with your expectations. It introduces the character, and you have this kind of dynamic, and you think there's going to be something that's going to, not necessarily a relationship, but there's, that they're going to sort of come together in some way, which, other films of this type would do that sort of thing, and maybe
Oh,
that would lead,
yeah.
that would be where the action is, but that's not. It's kind of a, it's a much more subtle conclusion to that.
You see, it reminded me a little bit of the end of Nikita. Because that ended in a very sort of enigmatic way as well.
Yeah, I should say I've actually never seen Nikita. It is kind of the stand. I know it's like his
That.
most famous film and like the standard text for Luc Besson, but I've only seen the remake.
Oh,
I've never
okay.
seen the TV series either, but
Which, well,
I
there's
really, really do
two
need to
TV
watch.
series, and they're both very good.
Oh, was there? What was the other
Yeah,
series then?
there's a Canadian series with oh, what's this?
Oh yes.
The actress that
Peter
was in
Wilson.
Peter
Peter
Wilson. That's
Wilson.
it. Yeah, from
Sorry, I'd forgotten about that one.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
And the other
Yeah,
one was the Maggie Hugh one, which
that's
was
it.
more recent, which I had in
Yeah,
mind, which
they're both good. Yeah.
yeah, I do want to watch at some point. So yeah, I was really pleasantly surprised with this. I thought this was really good, really interesting.
Yeah. So, just going to pick up on a couple of characters.
Go.
So obviously we've got Evelyn, played by JoJo T. Gibbs, who's the psychiatrist. She gets dragged into this, because all the other sort of like psychiatrists are just going, where they sort of try to speak to him, and but she gets through to him, and just by being nice, basically, and showed a bit of respect, and he responds to it. But there's an interesting bit where she goes back to his place, which is like the day after this whole massacre things happen, and of course the police are still tagging bodies and everything, and you're going, oh, when are we going to get this flashback? And as the film going on, you're thinking they're not going to show it, are they? They're going to stifle us. But no, he gives the action fans what they've been patiently waiting for, and we do get a superb sequence at the end. It remind it basically these dogs go John Rambo on these Hispanic drug dealer guys, setting traps and all this sort of stuff. It's great.
Yeah, it's all the
It's
little
brilliant.
dog pulling the cord and stuff and
Yeah,
like electrocuting
all that.
things.
It's brilliant, is it? No, so Home Alone meets Rambo, basically, but with dogs. It's really well done. The other guy who needs a shout out is an actor called Christopher Denham, who plays the insurance adjuster called Ackerman. So our main guy Douglas, he's been getting his dogs to basically act as cat burglars, robbing all these houses. How he does it, God knows, but we do it. And finally, this guy Ackerman gets on his tail, and he puts in a good performance. It reminds me a little bit of Paul Giamatti,
Oh yeah.
and yeah, he's really good. And it turns out he's just a greedy bastard at the end of it. So gets an interesting denouement. So
Well, because
yeah.
that's another case where they've kind of taken the all somebody's on his tail and they're figuring it out and they're going to track him down and have a confrontation, and then that doesn't play out exactly like you think it. Although there's an inkling, you have an inkling of what might happen, but it does it was again, I think playing with the conventions of what was be to be expected from that. But yeah, I thought the dogs were great. I should also
Oh,
add
the
that,
dogs.
the
Yeah,
animal
the dog
handling and
wrangling is
stuff. But
brilliant. Yeah.
yeah, it's
Yeah. I mean,
fantastic.
it's just some really nice moments, like when Douglas gets thrown in the cage with them, and they just lie around him, just sort of protecting him, because he's the only one who's sort of showing them any sort of kindness beforehand. I thought that was all really good, and yeah, the things with the Dobermans and stuff, thought that was all great, and the way that ends, yeah, it's just a real
The
pleasant
other,
surprise
there was one
overall.
performer I didn't think quite worked that well, which was the drama teacher character. I just thought that there was something about her performance that just sort of took me out of the film a little bit, more in the first part than in the second part when he goes back to see her again. Which that's a real there's a that's kind of a that's the most heart the most heartfelt part of the film is you know his you know he
His
his
crush
feelings
and yeah.
yeah his crush towards on this teacher and how that pat plays out and how that affects his character and stuff, which I really liked all that. You can unfortunately you can kind of see where it's going and you're like, oh, you're really feeling for him and stuff, but I thought it worked. Some reviews have compared this to Joker, which I think is fair enough. I do see where they're coming from with that. I think that's more than reasonable. So it ties in with some of my own associations. I think there's definitely a I could see his character here as one that would exist in the Matt Reeves or Christopher Nolan Batman universes. I think you know he's it's kind of a character that you know if this was because I don't think he is a hero or a villain. I think that's quite what's quite interesting about the film. But I think but you could fit that character into that universe and it would fit quite you know comfortably. So I
It
think people
just needs
who've
a
liked
push.
things,
Just needs a little push either side, doesn't it, basically? It walks a good tightrope, basically.
Yeah, so I think people who've enjoyed Joker or the Matt Reeves Batman recently and stuff, I think, or say the M. Night Shyamalan take on superhero movies and stuff, or general actually, I think there's something here for people who are interested in those kind of genres, and it'll give them something just a bit different.
I agree. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this. I'm giving this one an 8 out of 10. How about yourself?
Yeah, another 8 from me.
Yeah, 2 solid 8s for Dogman. Go check it out. Our short shot this week is Elliot's Cradle. This follows the harrowing journey of a grieving mother called Sarah, who is grappling with the devastating loss of her infant son, Elliot. Desperate for closure and yearning for one last connection with her child, Sarah turns to the enigmatic medium, Elaine, in a last-ditch attempt to reach out to her deceased son. Interesting. And harrowing short, this one, Rich. This does sort of pull at the heartstrings quite a bit. Very well produced. The look of it is great. I love, when Elaine is giving the rules. I mean, I can imagine sitting there, and when she starts telling these rules, I can imagine the sort of the goosebumps and the hairs rising on the back of my neck. To be told that shit, do not turn around, you'll hear other voices, all this sort of shit. I could believe it for sure. And then the stuff that actually happens in the in when obviously she disobeys the rules. I thought all that was great. Yes, it was a very solid short, this one. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it's good, quite a simple, kind of straightforward two-hander. It's from the director of the Gale, Stay Away from Oz,
Oh yeah.
short that we. It was originally a concept trailer that we watched, but it did get fleshed out to about
Okay.
half an hour, and it is available to watch on. I think it's called Chilling Service, but I haven't subscribed to that to check it out yet, but I do really want to. It's very much on my agenda because I'm really keen to see what he did with that because the trailer was really good.
Yes, it was.
And yeah, so this is kind of say it's more it's a it's very drama focused rather than sort of gore or anything like that. It's very much about the characterization and mostly set like basically two characters sort of facing each other at a table, but there are sort of some fantasy sort of cutaways and things, and a nice moment. So the whole don't turn around thing reminded me a bit. I do remember there was a short film where a family are kind of haunted in their house and they're sitting at the dinner table and they're just like, don't respond to it, don't react to it, and it will leave you alone kind of thing. And that was doing a kind of similar thing with like hands coming up and touching and stuff like that, which I thought was quite good. The whole thing about you're opening a door, and you know, the others are there, others will come, you know, just be careful. And then,
which we've had
but
seen
it's
in other
more
things
the
like Sinister and not Sinister, Insidious and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and then the ending is, it's got quite an interesting ending, which I guess is open to interpretation, because I didn't really understand, I couldn't really get entirely what had happened there. You know, was there a something? Anyway, I don't want to spoil it because anything
Indeed.
I'm saying might sink. But there's something that happens at the conclusion which kind of changes the dynamic of it and does make you question what's been going on. So the I thought that was quite interesting. There was another filmmaker we've done films called Dylan Vibart, who's also done short films that have handled sort of real world issues such as domestic violence and stuff. Which
is he the one who did the
you
drinking
know,
one for the woman who's trying to give up alcohol or something?
Yes, I think so. And there was the other one, and there was another one where I think there was like a said abusive partner kind
Oh
of
yeah,
thing
that
going
was a good
on.
one. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was another filmmaker I was reminded of with this. But yeah, I've not seen much else of Daniel Alexander is the director here. I can't remember if I mentioned that, but he's done quite a few other things. Say I've only seen Gail and this. The Gail original short, but definitely interested to see what else he's done. Good, solid, straightforward, quite intriguing work.
Absolutely. This is definitely worth checking out. We don't score the shorts, but we do recommend you check them out, and you'll find a link to this in the footnotes below. Go check it out. Our DTV throwback is Escape. On a desolate mountain pass in medieval Norway, a family is attacked by a pack of merciless killers. The only one to be spared is 19-year-old Signe, who is taken hostage and brought back to camp. There she learns she is to face a fate far worse than death and realizes the only thing she can do is run away. But her escape does not go unnoticed, and now the chase is on. Directed by one of my favorite directors, Roar Utag, who did the first two Cold Prey movies, and the Wave and the Quake, and the most recent of the Tomb Raider films. I really like this. It's very solid. Stars Ingrid Bolso Bjerdal, who was also in the first two Cold Prey movies and also in Hercules with I was going to say Don Johnson, the other Johnson, The Rock himself. Dwayne Johnson, Don Johnson. Yeah, he'd be a great Hercules. and she looks completely different in this. You know, she's certainly still a badass, but she's not sort of like your typical Hollywood badass. You know, she's got sort of shaved eyebrows, looks crazy. Got a real tragic backstory to her. About at the same time, you know, got this evil plan going forward as well. I thoroughly like this. I think it moves along pretty quick. How did you get on with it, Rich?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought that it was, the poster kind of focuses on her character, which is Dagmar. So I was expecting a different film to what it actually ended up being. So I was quite surprised. Oh, she's the antagonist. So that was kind of throwing me. It's a young. I didn't realize she was 19. I thought she was much younger than that. But
she probably is. But you know, for form's sake, yeah, let's call her 19, so we don't get into trouble.
Oh well, yeah. Well, that was kind of the thing, because there's a whole thing about the intentions towards her, I had in mind that she was a lot younger, so therefore that makes that a lot creepier. Than already a bad situation, but it's interesting. Say it's one of Roar Utag's first films, first feature films, I should say, from 2012, and I hadn't seen it before. And the setup was quite interesting. It was, you know, it's that whole kind of a pursuit in the woodlands kind of story, basically, of her literally, the title is Escape. That's what, she's got to escape and survive in the lands, whatever, and get away from. But there's some really interesting stuff, some nice relationship moments. The we set up the Dagmar character. It's really clear, she does something really bad at the beginning, and but then you still kind of sort of lean towards sympathizing with her a bit, and then she keeps doing really nasty stuff, but at the same time you do kind of, when they flesh out, you do kind of understand a little bit where she's coming from and what's led her to that. It's a bit like that kind of going back to the whole supervillain origin story, where there's, the more complex, interesting supervillains are the ones who you kind of see where they're coming from a little bit, and
Exactly,
what's happened to them that's made them that way. That they're perhaps they're not, there might be a chance for some sort of redemption. But yeah, it's low budget. It's only an hour and 18 minutes long. That's including credits, excluding the final title. Say the film does finish after about an hour and 13. We watched it on Plex, which had about seven commercial breaks, which added like 20 or 30 minutes to the running time. But the film itself, because it's got such a short running time, it is, very quickly paced. The performances are really good. The action is nice as well. What I thought, what now, I don't know if you picked up on this, but when I was Googling around and searching for it, I hadn't noticed, but there's several elements here and scenes and bits and pieces that Roru Tugg reworked when he made Tomb Raider. So
I need
that,
to
and
see
there's
that
that.
again. I need to
Yeah.
watch Tomb Raider again, actually.
I was a bit disappointed by Tomb Raider, to be fair, but the so it didn't really linger much in the memory, but there's a video on YouTube where somebody compares scenes from the two. I mean, in it you couldn't say that the Tomb Raider film is a remake of this, because there's too many different. I mean, this is set in the 1300s for one. But the other thing was, there's scenes where our protagonist here, she uses a bow and arrow in one or two scenes, and they sort of compared that with the Alicia Vikander moments in
Tomb
Tomb
Raider,
Raider, and also the stuff with crossing the logs and stuff. Some interest. I think what he's done is, he works with quite a little limited budget on this one, and he probably went, after doing The Wave, he'd gone off to Hollywood and they'd given him this massive budget, and he thought, well, I want to do what I was really wanting to do when I did Escape. So that's quite an interesting relationship between those two films. But the I thought this was really solid. I've not seen a Roru Tugg, apart from, say, feeling a bit let down by Tomb Raider, which that does happen with studio films, I think, more than sort of the sort of more independently made domestically produced films for these kind of filmmakers. So, say, Cold Prey, I really enjoyed. Say, The Wave was really good as well.
Have you
And
seen
this.
Troll?
No, I haven't actually, because that's the one he did for Netflix
That's on
after Tomb Raider,
Netflix.
wasn't it? How was that?
It's very good.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant special effects in it, that's definitely worth one seeing.
Yeah, I don't know what he's got going on next, but the actress here, Ingrid Bolso Bjerdal, who's Dagmar, she's had various Hollywood film appearances as well. Including Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters,
That's
and
right.
Hercules. I think you mentioned that one earlier,
Yeah,
didn't you?
the Dwayne
Yeah,
Johnson one,
that was it. And the Westworld TV series and things like that. So she's crossing over. She's done various things. So she, yeah, this was very different. I would never have recognized her from. I mean, there was another film called The Spy, which I think
We
we
did
might
do
have
that
covered
one.
that.
Yeah, we
Yeah,
did.
so
We did it
she was the lead
because
in that, and I would never have put them together. She's a very good actress who can, make you
Yeah, it's good versatile
not inhabit the
actress.
role rather than necessarily, always looking like the star. She's very much a character actress, I would say.
And that is definitely on show here. But yeah, this is a good solid film. One, kind of forgotten about, I guess, even though it's only 12 years old. But yeah,
Well, I
I know
don't think it
someone.
ever got really a UK release apart from,
It
say, turning up on Plex and some other streaming platforms.
did come out on DVD, I
Oh, did it?
believe. I believe so. I'm pretty sure I've got a screener DVD downstairs somewhere for it.
I wasn't able to find. Oh, yes, you're right. It did. Yes. So it looks like
Because I
it
reviewed
came
it back
out.
in the day. No.
It came out from Entertainment One in 2013, so not so just after it was after it came out. So yeah, it was fairly quickly re released here, which is quite good. Yeah, I'd miss that one. So
And for the record, Raw at the moment is doing Troll 2, apparently. So,
oh, okay, not that Troll 2.
not that Troll 2.
Yeah, the infamously bad movie. That would be funny if he was doing his Troll 2 as a remake of Troll 2.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
That
Jesus.
would be
Okay, we don't score the throwbacks, but again, we do recommend you check them out. As we mentioned, you'll find this on Plex, decent widescreen copy as you'd hope. But as we said, beware. There's one or two advert breaks, and if you make the mistake of pausing the film, going away, and then coming back, you're going to get another advert break just for the hell of it.
And another thing is, be mindful of what platform you're watching it on, because if you try and watch it on some devices, it doesn't give you the subtitles option. So your best bet is to try and watch it on, say, your PC or app on a smart TV if you have it, rather than say on a smartphone or a Chrome, like a Chromebook or whatever, which I was originally trying to watch it on my Chromebook. And there was just like no sub. I mean, it literally says on the listing, it says no subtitles, and then it doesn't give you a subtitles option. But if you watch it on the other
Crazy.
platforms, it does give you the subtitles option. So it's crazy. I don't know how that
Yeah,
works,
very weird.
but there you go.
Okay. Yes, so that's the end of this week's episode. It's very short, but we will be recording another one shortly. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook and Twitter at the DTV Digest. Also, check us out on the Short Shots, where we have a whole library of links to short films. You'll find something there to entertain you for sure. Thank you for listening. Tune in next time.
Thank you for listening to the DTV Digest. Let us know your thoughts in the comments and tune in again next time.